back. We're waiting for the music and the
the jingles and
the
stuff.
The jingle and the whoever the we should have had Cynthia Fodor welcome us back there. Talking about north of Boston. We were down in north of Boston area a couple of weeks ago, and that's where Judith Ritter is actually this weekend, down in the Newburyport Plum Island area. But she's back from India, and for those looking for a bit of exotic travel, India is certainly the place. You know, you think of India, and a lot of images come to mind, and the most popular destinations in India are still New Delhi, the capital, and Agra, the home of the Taj Mahal, and the romantic desert state of Rajasthan. But there are many other fascinating destinations in India, and Judith Ritter has just returned, joins us with Tales of These Cities.
How are you?
Oh, doing well, doing well.
I'm on R&R Judith. From India, here in Plum Island.
That will do it. It's like night and day, totally different extremes, Plum Island and India.
Absolutely. One of the things that's so different about India, of course, is, you know, people are concerned about the health issues, and that's what keeps a lot of people from going. They're worried about the food and the water and, of course, the heat. But absolutely, you can brave that by taking certain precautions. You get on malaria drugs. You take very good care of yourself eating. Try to be vegetarian. Make sure the food is well cooked. You drink bottled water. It's all worth it for the drama and the adventure. Really incredible.
Now, where do we start? We decide to go to India. Where would you suggest people start?
Well, my recommendation is to start in South India. And Madras is a very gentle way to enter India. It's very beautiful. It's tropical. Madras itself is not astounding, but it has the color, the crowds, the cows in the street, the markets that make India so fascinating. But Madras is a gateway to amazing destinations like Pondicherry. That's one. Now, if you imagine that sharp pointed triangle of India on the map, and you look on the east side, about three quarters of the way down, you see Pondicherry. That's right on the Bay of Bengal. And what's so interesting about this small city is that it was once ruled by the French, so that's quite different.
Yeah, you think of India as just having been totally colonized by the English.
That's right. But parts of the south was ruled by the French, so you have the Indian culture, the low thatched huts and the palms and the bright red flowering trees and the music and the Hindu temples. But everywhere, thrown over the city like a thin veil, is the French influence. So here you have the richness of an Indian city, but the names of some of the streets are Dupuis and Derichement, and they kind of roll into Rue Nehru and Mahatma Gandhi Road. So while you'll have a million little stands to buy dosa, that's, you probably had that, you guys, a large crisp potato-stuffed South Indian crepe with spicy sauce. Here and there you'll find in between all those Indian restaurants and stands a few very fine French restaurants, little cafes even. There's one place recently opened called Hot Breads, and they have straw baskets full of baguettes and croissants. You think you're in Paris or Montreal, except the croissant is stuffed with chicken curry.
Right. So this merge of cultures makes it a bit easier to shoulder all that strangeness you'll find in India.
Yes, you could call Pondicherry India for beginners. Now, this is a seacoast town, and the French built a boardwalk along the sea, and along this road is still where Alliance Française has a building and the French consulate. But at night, the boardwalk is filled with people strolling, and in one way, it's like a town on the west coast of France. But what you see are huge Indian families in colorful saris and all that kind of chatter and laughter. And day and night, of course, behind you, the waves of the Bay of Bengal. Now, once you've gotten a bit used to the crowds and the color and the chaos and the curry, you can then venture into the Indian market in Pondicherry. And this is clearly India. It's not France. And there you're going to follow these winding alleys and fruit and vegetable and flower vendors interspersed with beggars and holy men. And because the town is on the sea, and because you get kind of overwhelmed there by the crowds, you can take a break. There's a small marina run by the city, and you can rent a very well-worn pedalo or a rowboat. And this is where you can actually meet Indian families. You see people loading these sari-draped grandmothers and frail grandpas and babies all onto these little boats. Indians don't ever seem to go anywhere alone. They're always with their huge families. And, of course, that's one of the wonderful things, these large extended families of aunts and cousins and
And people
very
like
nice.
Yeah, people like to talk with tourists, I hear.
They love to talk, and often they'll invite you to their what we'll find very modest homes at very generous people.
Where did you stay while you were there?
Well, I tried out two kinds of places. I tried a new business class hotel, which was acceptable, called the Hotel Moss, and they were very hospitable. But the most wonderful thing was a small guest house run by one of the ashrams, and this was called Park Guest House, right on the sea, almost like a monastery, two simple beds, mosquito netting, absolutely immaculately clean, very inexpensive, and a lovely alternative. But outside the city, if you don't want the business hotel or the monastery environment, is a very lovely hotel called the Pondicherry Ashok Beach Resort.
That's better for guys like me because I don't like being a monk.
You don't want to be a monk. And that black and brown or brown robe really is hot and sticky in India. This place,
that's not the part I don't like.
Yeah, I figured. Oh, that's not the part. I know the other part. Right on the sea, the Pondicherry Ashok is very quiet, very beautiful. We ate there, and it was quite good. We kept trying to get a glimpse of an Indian movie star who was staying there. Apparently, a lot of Indian movie stars go there for a break.
Well, Indians love their movies. There's a whole industry, Indian movies. They're never seen really outside of India or Indian communities in North America, but that is big business there and a whole star structure.
Bollywood, which I hope to get to sometime in the future in Bombay, the studios. You know, we hear a lot when we think about India of the beggars and the unspeakable poverty, and that's actually interspersed in every city. But of course, it's really Calcutta, isn't it?
Just a name gives you that whole image. You figure squalor and people in the streets.
That's right. And of course, we think about Mother Teresa. But let's start with that. On our visit to Calcutta, we did go to the Mother House of the Missionaries of Charity. That's a big interest to visitors. But before we go farther, just try to imagine Calcutta by imagining the downtown of any Canadian city on the last shopping day before Christmas, and then multiply the number of people by 10, and then imagine that about one-fifth of them are sitting or lying on the street. And if you look down, you'll see someone selling newspapers. You'll see a barber shaving a customer. You'll see a woman sitting in front of a big pile of mangoes. If you look up at eye level, you see businessmen in open-necked white shirts hurrying along and elegant women in gold-trimmed saris and gold jewelry. And you really body to body with people. You go by shop after shop. They're mostly open front bazaar like shops. Some of the buildings are glorious remnants of the British Empire. They all seem to be either under construction, I don't know, to take them down, or they're putting them back together, but certainly there's a lot of construction, and the noise and the honking of horns and car and bicycle and human-drawn rickshaw bells, and someone's playing a wooden flute, and vendors are chanting, selling their wares, and the whole thing is 44 degrees out. So on this background is where you find the walled enclosure of the Missionaries of Charity.
And what is this famous place where Mother Teresa lived like?
The Mother House is behind these gray stone walls, and you walk in out of the chaos of Calcutta into a courtyard. You see sisters running back and forth and a variety of raggle-taggle-looking young people. These are all volunteers who've come from around the world. And the chapel, when you go in, has that simple white stone vault of Mother Teresa that we've seen in images on television. And all around are her sayings on the walls, wonderful things like, I am but a pencil in God's hands, and sayings about ennobling the poor. And the sisters come in and kneel, and one of the things for visitors is that if you are Catholic, you can join them in prayer. So that's a very lovely experience.
Where are all the people the Missionaries of Charity care for? Are they around for you to see as well? Or?
Absolutely. There's a building nearby where all the children are, the orphans. It's called Shushu Bhavan, and they're there from tiny infants to 5 and 6 year olds. You walk in, there are wall-to-wall cribs with little abandoned babies that have been left there or found in the street, and then about 80 toddlers, 2 to 4 years old, and they kind of rush you and grab your hands and rub their little heads against your legs. They're really hungry to be touched. touched.
They're looking for that affection, and they're looking also for this maybe change in their routine. What happens to these babies afterwards?
Most of them are adopted, and those that aren't are raised by the sisters. They're educated, and they even their marriages are arranged for them. So once they've made it to Mother Teresa's, they're the lucky ones in Calcutta, really.
Right, they care for them right through their entire lives. It's
That's
a
right.
whole infrastructure for that.
That's right. And also, as we've heard above, there are adults that are cared for by the Missionaries of Charity. In another building farther away, near a wonderful temple to see, is the Home for the Destitute and Dying, and maybe we can talk more about it. These people are people who have been found on the street. Volunteers pedal around on bicycles with a big white open box on the back, and they literally pick up dying people off the street. They bring them in to be cared for, and inside, again, you see the volunteers, a Dutch nurse taking a year off, a German banker who's left his job and is full-time with the sisters, an Indian businessman who comes to help out every lunch hour, a Canadian university student. It's a very, very beautiful sight to see.
And visitors can see all this. Nothing is sort of hidden from them.
Absolutely. And you can volunteer for short periods of time or just donate money. Here's an amazing fact. $30 can provide 80 full meals for those very ill and abandoned people.
Right, it's like a worthwhile donation. When you're walking along the streets with all those throngs of people, it's not really conducive to taking a photograph. I think you're kind of swept up in the whole rush of humanity.
Well, it is really hard to take photographs anywhere because the crowd is moving so fast. I mean, it's like if you're standing in the waves in North Carolina and you're trying to take a photograph of a friend of yours who's learning to windsurf or something, you know, you keep getting knocked backwards. But it is an amazing, amazing sight, really. I think the other thing is that people don't really know what a rich cultural life there is in Calcutta, an intellectual life. You can drop into the India Coffee House, no atmosphere, just a big room with round tables, mediocre coffee, and a million conversations going on about poetry, about theater. And each neighborhood has a cultural association. So on a Saturday night, we actually got to visit someone's house where teenagers, believe it or not, were performing the song and poems of a poet born 100 years ago, and they weren't just doing it because their parents said to. I talked with the kids. They said they think it's cool to know Indian classical dance. So for visitors, you can contact the Tourist Board of Calcutta. There's always a festival going on, and people in Calcutta love to read. Someone told me there are 19 newspapers in Calcutta, and in fact, there's a whole street called College Street of bookstalls. It looks like everything's tumbling down, loose pages, loose books falling off the shelves, but everybody's buying books on the way home from work. One elderly fellow even came up to me on the street, and he gave me a book of his poems, free, he said. I just wanted to read my poems.
we'll continue.
Amateur poets, writers.
We'll continue our discussion with Judith Ritter on the exotic places of India. And coming up to 11:30 in Montreal. Time to start thinking about lunch. Time to start thinking about Pizza Donini. 31 locations in Greater Montreal. Just one number to remember, 383-6000 for real great Montreal-style pizza and a whole lot more. Piping hot, oven fresh, at your door in 30 minutes or less. Pizza Donini, 383-6000.
Thundering the Banshees.
The hell is a Banshee?
Seek help.
AM600 Montreal.
Did you know that property damages, water, flood, fire, and odor are covered in your insurance policy? I can handle your worries and repair all damages caused by a disaster. My specialized department will protect your interests with your insurance company, and we will do the work quickly according to rule and guarantee our work. Call us now.
274-1159. 274-1159.
Take a one-hour vacation and soothe your body at Luxocor, mesotherapy at its finest. Enjoy a professional, therapeutic, Swedish, Californian, or stress-healing massage in a warm, inviting, upscale atmosphere given by a caring staff for whom your total comfort and well-being are of the utmost concern. Luxocor, 374-8181, open 7 days a week from 10 to 10 by appointment only. Your body deserves a break. Relax and enjoy at Luxocor today, 374-8181. Melt your cares away with Luxocor, 374-8181.
Hey,
kids. Want to be at the birthday party of Montreal's biggest sports celebrity on Montreal's biggest playing field?
Yuppie!
July 25th is Yuppie's birthday. Starting at 10, a big party will be in full swing on the diamond. Join in the fun. Inflatable toys, mascots, clowns, and much more. At 1:35, the Expos take on the Pirates. Bring the family out to the Olympic Stadium for Yuppie's birthday. Sunday, July 25th. It's going to be one grand slam of a celebration. Tickets on sale at the stadium ticket office and mission outlet 790-1245.
Via Rail is proud to be the official ground transportation carrier for Travel World's media correspondents. Business taking you to Toronto but tired of battling traffic on the 401, the confusion of Pearson Airport and high airfares? Next time, arrive refreshed and relaxed. Pamper yourself with Via One first-class service from downtown to downtown. A hot meal served at your seat, full stretch-out comfort that allows you to spend productive work time, not lose time en route. Via One, the way Montreal-Toronto travel was meant to be, from Via Rail, Canada's passenger train network.
While you're busy looking forward to your vacation, your local Sears Furniture and Appliances store is busy making room for new fall furnishings with great prices on remaining summer stock. This weekend only, July 24th and 25th, all furniture and sleep sets are on sale or at special purchase prices. Plus, use your Sears card and don't pay for one full year on approved credit. See store for details.
Visit one of 22 Sears Furniture and Appliances stores across Canada, including their St. Bruno location at 1155 Des Promenades.
Hi, this is Vic Phillips. You're listening to Montreal's only travel show, Travel World, on AM 600, Canada's first station, CIQC.
CIQC.
Baby, tell me, does she love you like the way I love you? Does she stimulate you, attract and captivate you? Tell me, does she miss you, existing just to kiss you like the way I do?
Yeah, like the way I do. Stephen Pickford here on Travel World, AM 600. Willem Backus in the Plattsburgh studio today. Judith Ritter in Plum Island talking about her recent trip to India. Also on the line, just phoned in, Bob, who was in India in World War II. Good morning, Bob. Bob, are you there? I don't hear Bob.
Yes, I'm on the phone.
Okay, you are there. Good morning.
Good morning. A little problem with the telephone.
Oh, nothing new. Nothing new with that one.
Is Miss Ritter there?
Yeah, she's on the line with us.
Oh, I see. Okay, I just wondering if she knows if they still have the sacred cow sitting down on Charingi Road in Calcutta.
Judith.
Oh, we lost her.
Okay.
Some wires are getting crossed somewhere.
Right. Oh, yes. We're just trying to get everyone together here. We've got everyone in different studios, basically, today, in four different places. You're at home. I'm here.
Yeah.
Judith Ritter is in Massachusetts. Willem Back is in Plattsburgh, New York. So everyone, a different place, a different location.
That's the real Travel World radio spirit.
Yes. So maybe now that Judith is on the line, Bob, you can... Okay, Bob was just talking to us about his World War II experiences and his visit to India and how it might have changed in 50 years. Before going to the break, we were talking about Calcutta and the temples. And these are Hindu temples? Or?
That's right. They're Hindu temples. For example, as I mentioned, the Mother Teresa Home for the Destitute and Dying is right near a very fabulous temple called a Calicut Temple, and that's a temple of Kali. And you walk in the temple courtyard and you'll see people boiling milk for offerings and lighting incense and getting ready to go inside the temple. Now, visitors can go into the temple if you take your shoes off and you're with someone, you're very respectful, very, very crowded in their very passionate moments of prayer. And, of course, there are mosques throughout India as well, and that's primarily in the north. And there are churches, and there are even some synagogues. In fact, we visited a very beautiful old synagogue in Calcutta that is almost deserted now. But to really feel the holy life of India, everybody says you have to go to Varanasi. That's Benares, is probably how you know it. This is the north central city on the holy river Ganges. It's considered to be the holiest city in India.
This is where they cremate people, is that correct?
Well, that's right. People are cremated in India everywhere. That's part of the Hindu religion, but it's said if you die in Varanasi, instantly attain enlightenment. So many, many religious people come from all over India to bathe in the holy Ganges River, and some old people actually come there to die so that they'll be cremated there. And the city life is focused around the river. All along the banks of the river, there are these stone steps that lead down. And if you go there at dawn, as we did, 4 o'clock in the morning, you'll hear chanting and praying just as the sun rises. And you see the smoke from the cremations. You see the naked holy men smeared with ashes. And you see the whole river is full of pilgrims bathing and praying in the river. And this is very strange for those of us who are not of that religion. But it's very powerful to be in the presence of such faith. And the city itself is so medieval, with winding lanes and, of course, the cliche that we hear of cows in the street. But it becomes not a cliche. People love the cows in the street. They touch them. They're happy that they're there. But this
truly city, holy cows.
Holy cows. The city is also very, very famous for music, believe it or not.
What kind of music would come out of that region?
Classical Indian music. Ravi Shankar, for example, who we've all heard of, the famous sitar player, spent a lot of time there. Many famous tabla players, those are drums, live there. I visited a tabla maker's shop. I sat on the floor with him. I watched him make this instrument just the way his grandfather, his great-grandfather did. And for the traveler, and this is one of the wonderful adventures, is that you can study classical Indian music there for a short or a long period. If you're there for a week, somebody will teach you Indian vocal music. Or this is a very special kind of vacation.
People are always looking for that type of uniqueness, something to
That's
learn
right.
and bring back from their vacation. Where would you suggest you stay when you visit?
There's nothing easy in India as far as staying places, unless they're the top of the line. But there are many small guest houses in Varanasi. The Hotel Varanasi Ashok actually is where we stayed. It's quite airy and pleasant, and gives you the courage from that atmosphere to tackle the street.
You need to stay in one of those more upscale properties to rejuvenate yourself after the day.
Well, I think it depends on your age. You see a lot of young Canadians, young Americans, young French people traveling. They seem to gravitate toward the guest houses. For them, it's quite an adventure to go maybe without the perfect shower, and you know, to have that experience. I think the older you get, that you want a little bit more comfort there.
What about shopping in India? Is that something to do?
Shopping in India is, I mean, the word's the same, shopping, but it really isn't anything like what we do. I hear there are shopping malls in Bangalore, in Bombay, in Delhi, but most places there aren't. Most places you go to the market, or just on the street, people rush you to sell you quirky things. A lot of little carved statues of gods and goddesses. India has so many markets, a million little stalls, and amusing bits of things to buy. For example, one thing we found so charming, so intriguing, there were whole shops selling bangles. And bangles are glass bracelets. They could be gold or red or orange or blue. And they're pennies a piece, really. So, and they're so pretty. We bought a few dollars worth. We had so much fun. We dressed ourselves up wrist to elbow with the bangles. And people there seem to appreciate that we're actually enjoying, you know, their jewelry. There are also wonderful painted wooden toys to be had in the markets. We went to a place called Gopal Toys in the market in Varanasi, and you'd have to be a genius to track that down just from what I've said. But it was a wonderful open store with toys that came from villages all over India, and they were brightly painted and quite beautiful. And everywhere you see woven bags and so much in the way of textiles, of course, beautiful cottons and silks. You go in a sari shop, for example, you sit on the floor and out come clerks who throw rolls of silk and kind of shoot it out at you like gentle waves on the beach out here at Plum Island, bolt after bolt of silk, and there you are sitting in a pile of multicolored silks. We went to a silk maker in Varanasi, and you can do that, a place called Silkways, and they had beautiful fabrics, and an intelligent and generous owner showed us where the silk was made, and we were kind of shocked because the workers sat in a dark place with rodents running around, and they were sitting under bare bulbs, working at old wooden looms. This is inherited work, and the actual creators of the silk, as we can imagine, get only pennies. Now, this silk company was a good employer. It was a cooperative. So while we were appalled, this was considered good and progressive. So buying silk, you were talking about shopping, is tempting, but you have to check out who makes it and how they're paid, if possible.
Is there any nightlife? We talked about shopping, we talked about restaurants, but do you do anything at night?
India is not much on nightlife, but again, maybe in Delhi there are a few discos. There are night markets. There are cultural events like Indian dance. You can find that through tourist boards. Lots of funny things to do, though. We went to an astrologer. My daughter got henna designs painted on her hands. That's called Mehindi. It's quite popular now in Canada. And there's just no end of friendly, spiritual people to talk to.
Well, I think we might have Bob, who was trying to get through earlier to ask you a question. He might be still on the line with us, so we have a couple of minutes left. So,
okay.
Bob, are you with us? Is Bob with us?
Yes.
Yes, Bob, you had a question for Judith.
Well, I just want to know what the things are like in Calcutta as far as restaurants are concerned, because when I was down there with the Canadian Air Force, there were certain restaurants that had big signs outside, not permitted for Allied troops to go into it because the type of food they served, the cleanliness was not up to par. Are there any signs there on restaurants that you're not allowed to go into or not prohibited from going into because they're not clean?
Your own judgments about the cleanliness or not of restaurants. What you're looking for in terms of cleanliness is that the food hasn't been sitting out long, that the people serving it are kind of spiffy looking and clean. And as I mentioned earlier, you are, as you probably know, Bob, from your very different experience from mine there, it's really best to stick to vegetarian food. But all are welcome at all restaurants.
Now, Judith, how do we plan a trip?
You can't really buy a burger out in India.
No. They have a vegetarian burger at McDonald's.
That's right. If you call the Tourism Board of India in Toronto, they're most helpful. They'll give you brochures. You can ask them questions. You then have to go to an international traveler's clinic. There is a very famous one in Montreal, but any city in Canada will have that. It's very important. You need to get advice about shots and malaria pills. If you're taking a train, plan way ahead. Things take a long time to organize within India, so do as much as you can from here, unless, of course, you have months on your hands for a trip. Don't try to go too many places, as we did, hop from city to city. There's just too much. Make sure that you pack light, bring small souvenirs. People just love that. We gave out Canada pins and Canada keychains and small Canadian coins. People there have so little, and they just appreciate everything. We brought photos of our home, and our most popular photo, guess what that was? It was our car buried in snow. We had a lot of explaining to do about
people
that.
Really wondered about that. Well, the number for India Tourism in Toronto is 416-962-3787. Their website is www.tourindia.com. And Judith, you're off to Thailand, and you'll be reporting back on that in the fall with us.
That's right. I'm off to Thailand next week, and actually, I have to tell you, I decided at the last minute to take 10 days at the end of that trip and take my kids to the Mother Teresa Missionaries of Charity. We're going to see if we can do a little Canadian contribution there.
Wow.
So Calcutta is so compelling and India is so wonderful. We're going to squeeze in a little more time there as well.
It drew you back. Well, thanks for joining us today,
and
Judith
thank
Ritter.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good time down on Plum Island the rest of the weekend. And when we come back here on Travel World, Mike Cohen from The Suburban is back from not so far away, the Hull Casino and the Otway Valley. Stay listening to
so
Travel World.
So close to home yet, so undiscovered.
Yes, he could have been listening to a station across the river. keep listening to Travel World here on AM 600.
Let's roll it, Alex.
CIQC.
Every time you call my name, I heat up.
AM 600 Montreal.
Hey, You're on vacation. It's time to get down to one of the 10 Louis Martineau locations to take advantage of their big summer sale. Furniture, household appliances, and electronics are all at prices never seen before. Get $100 off on the Whirlpool 18.1 cubic foot refrigerator. Yours now for just $699. Buy today with no down payment and no interest before June 2000. So put on your flip-flops and head on down to the Louis Martineau big summer sale.
Before heading off on your next trip, head off to Jet Setter. Jet Setter is Montreal's travel accessory center with the largest selection of travel accessories in Eastern Canada. Everything that you could possibly want relating to travel, all in one location. Money belts, water purifiers. Travel Pro, Skyway, Moose Sports Sack, Kipling, Timberland, Eagle Creek, Briggs & Riley, and more. At Jet Setter, I found you don't pay more for quality and personal service. In fact, you'll save with Jet Setter, and GST is included in every price you see. Jet Setter, Montreal's Travel Accessory Center, 66 Laurier West between Clark and Saint-Urbain. Telephone 271-5058.
For a wild look at the world of sports, tune into The Locker Room Sunday nights at 11 on AM 600. Hosted by McGill's infamous Earl the Pearl Zuckerman, The Locker Room is brought to you by the Crystal Palace on St. John's Road in DVO. Their Chinese Szechuan menu features an all-you-can-eat weekday luncheon for only $9.95. Also sponsored by the Grand Bayou Bar and Cafe, where you get fine food and great ambiance at 12 Rachel Street West. Plus the McGill Sports Shop at 475 Pine West, and by Frost. For 24-hour service on refrigeration or air conditioning, call 330-2811.
Are you tired of being held hostage to the airline's demands to stay over a Saturday night and reserve 2 weeks in advance just to get a reasonable airfare? Fed up with paying $1,000 or more on your business trips to the United States? Now there's an answer to every business traveler's dream with Zagary Travel's USA on Business fares to over 50 key business centers throughout America. Reserve up to 3 days in advance, stay just 2 days, not requiring a Saturday, and count the savings. $395 plus taxes to Los Angeles, for instance, compared to over $2,000 plus taxes normally applicable without that obtrusive Saturday night stayover. You don't sacrifice comfort or convenience either, flying with one of America's top five fly carriers with full in-flight service, seat selection, and frequent flyer mileage. Call the corporate travel specialist at Zagary Travel in Dollar today, 626-3132, to find out how you can shave your travel budget by up to 75%. Your next business trip to the USA should begin with a call to Zagary. 626-3132.
Did you know that property damages, water, flood, fire, and odor are covered in your insurance policy? I can handle your worries and repair all damages caused by a disaster. My specialized department will protect your interests with your insurance company, and we will do the work quickly according to rule and guarantee our work. Call us now.
274-1159. 274-1159.
CIQC.
Working for the weekend here on
Travel
World.
And we're back, finally, Steve.
Back at 11:50 in Montreal. 10 minutes left to go. Stephen Pickford here in Montreal. Willem back is in Plattsburgh. And Mike Cohen on the line back from Hull.
I hear he had a hell of a time.
You know what, Willem? I knew that was going to be your opening line. I knew it.
Something tells me from the email you sent us asking us to say quite that.
That's it, exactly.
You know something,
Plattsburgh, Willem?
Things are fine. Finally, we got the Comrex settings right. Alex, please memorize these settings, and the show would have been a lot better. It's kind of rainy, overcast here in Plattsburgh. It's about 75 degrees. It's very comfortable out here, though a little bit humid. It's fine. Robbie's sleeping by the door.
Bert Burdan's job. You could be Bert Burdan's successor.
King of the North Country.
Absolutely.
No, I'll be smiley like Tom Messner. But no, it's fine. This is my little country haven down here in Katyville, which is to Plattsburgh like Valleyfield is to Montreal. So I guess the local country station will be broadcasting news of only Katyville around here.
Terrific.
At any rate.
What took you to Hull, Mike?
Well, my wife and I went to Ottawa for the weekend. It was just a weekend getaway. I am not a big fan of casinos. I've gone to the Montreal Casino a number of times. It's very big, but it's also very crowded. Parking is often a problem. You have to take a shuttle bus. We had heard about the Hull Casino, that it was, a 10-minute drive from downtown Ottawa, and it was less congested, smaller but less congested, so we decided to give it a visit, and it was quite nice, I must say, very comfortable. It was not overly crowded. You were able to get parking right away, valet parking. Now, I do not go there to play the slot machines all evening long, and there was a show being played. They have a big air-conditioned outdoor tent right beside the casino, and they had a show called Dance Sing there. Now, this show had played at the Montreal Casino I think within the last year.
It premiered, remember visiting the casino at the beginning of February. They were going through dress rehearsals at the time, right around the Travel Media Association annual meeting. So we had sort of a preview performance, and it's a very interesting.
You did see it then.
Yes, I saw the show when it was here in Montreal.
I was not I missed that one, Stephen, I have to say. And we went to see the show in Ottawa, in Hull. It was just superb. 2 hours of nonstop action, 60 songs. I couldn't believe the talent on that stage. And I did put something in a recent column in the Suburban, and I've received a number of calls in my voicemail from people who want to make the trip out there. I mean, it starts at 9 o'clock, ends at 11, and basically you can go there for the evening, be back home, or there's plenty of places to stay. But I'd highly recommend it. They do an ending, Stephen, if you recall,
yes.
Titanic.
Yes, that was the final scene. And
remarkable.
It just goes bang, 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 the different sets changing, the different costume changes. It is action-packed. There's no intermission. It's just one song right after the other.
Absolutely. So Hull has got a tourist attraction now. I've been going to the nation's capital for, on a regular basis, probably for the last dozen years. And the only time I went to Hull was perhaps I had to go meet a government official across the bridge. But the casino is drawing people from all over. And Ottawa is getting the message, and you heard it here first. There is going to be a casino in Ottawa in the next couple of months.
Bye bye tax dollars.
That's it. Well, the fact is that the Hull Casino is just drawing a lot of people, and justifiably so. There is also in Hull Le Biftec restaurant is going to be going up across from the casino very soon. A big hotel complex across the street. So they're building, and we'll have to see how the competition goes. But for Montrealers who kind of like the casino way of life but want to get away from it all, get a little bit of vacation for a couple of days, you can go stay in Ottawa. You can go stay in Hull. There is plenty to do, plenty to keep you occupied, as you know, in the nation's capital area. And in terms of hotels, well, there's a wide choice in Ottawa and in Hull as well. There's hotels that you'll probably pay a lot less for. And if you're not going to be spending, an enormous amount of time there, it might be worth your while.
In Hull, the rates can sometimes be anywhere from 30 to 60% less than in the Ottawa side, particularly in the summertime when they don't get the government traffic in.
Absolutely.
The tourists and the motor coach tours all have to stay in Ottawa just so they can say, we're putting you up in Ottawa. But there's a Holiday Inn, there's a Ramada, there's a Best Western. They're all located in Hull.
Absolutely. So I would recommend that the listeners who are interested in going, they could call 1-800-665-2274 to get more information on the Hull Casino. And there is also a website, www.casino/quebec.com/hull.htm. Maybe we'll make it a link on the Travel World.
Stuff. Right, we can list it on our site for the Quebec Casino's website. And the telephone number for general tourism information for all of Quebec, including the Outaouais Valley, is 800-363-7777 for Tourism Quebec. Another great place to visit when you're in the Hull region, right on the Hull side of the river, is the Canadian Museum of Civilization.
So one more thing, Stephen, that I picked up while I was there. The casino, I guess, sensing the competition from Ottawa, is going to be celebrating the new millennium and the bicentennial of the city of Hull on a New Year's Eve with a presentation of a multimedia extravaganza entitled Harmony 2000.
And this is going to be a multimedia project that can attract as many as 40,000 people. It's going to be outdoors, and it will continue after New Year's Eve. It will resume May 17th to September 13th. And as for Dan Singh, that continues right now till September 18th. So Montreal is looking for perhaps a quick getaway. Might want to consider that.
That certainly can be recommended. And as I say, you can combine the casino with the Museum of Civilization. And also there's the steam train ride up the Hull-Chelsea-Wakefield steam train ride, which is also interesting. So a number of attractions that you can take in just on the Hull side. You always think go to Ottawa, but Hull has come into its own over the past few years.
Yes, indeed. And it looks like they're working hard on trying to build a tourism image for themselves, and it appears to be a very pleasant group of people. The people in that casino, the workers are extremely, extremely friendly and helpful, and that makes you want to go back.
Yep, helpful people, friendly people, they create the image of a destination. You can try a place once, but to the people, you get the impression that they couldn't care that you were there, you won't go back.
Precisely.
At least there's some attractions more than just the French Canadian Ballet.
Yes, which has been moved to Gatineau, I believe. they keep moving a little closer, to Montreal.
Absolutely.
Mike Cohen, thank you for joining us this morning on Travel World.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Willem.
See you, Mike.
Bye-bye.
And so, Willem, you'll be heading home this weekend with your trusty Comrex unit under your arm.
Yeah.
Don't leave it there. Don't put it on the side of the street. See how honest people are to return it to you.
Leave the old Comrex and Robbie.
Little tag beside it saying, if found, please return to, and see how honest the people are.
Here in Katyville, people are reasonably honest, although when Robbie took off into the, there's a farm next door, they wanted to keep him, but Robbie likes to explore the cornfields around here.
Well, talking about cornfields, I guess that, as Melanie Reference would say, that was a segue, right?
Yes.
Heading to Iowa, and that will be in 3 weeks' time. Next week, the 31st, we'll be saying fond farewell to Gordon Avenue, our last show on Gordon Avenue. And
then
August 7th, Vic Phillips will be in studio with Bram Eisenthal at the new studios on Dilly Glees. And then 14th and 21st on the road, Iowa, New Hampshire. So many places to go, so little time to do it in.
Yeah, well, it's nice to join once again from my country place here in Katyville. Steve, it was great. Alex, memorize these settings and give them to Steve.
Okay, and I'll write them down, put them in my pocket agenda. We'll be next week talking about Hampton Beach, a prelude with Bob Houle, Jimmy Lesage from the New Life Hiking Spa. Hopefully the phones will work and he'll be on the telephone line. Tried him a couple of weeks ago. Jerry Wagshaw from CTV talking about Toronto and Ottawa, things to do this summer. So a variety of summertime fun activities next Saturday from 11 to noon for Travel World here on AM 600 CIQC. I'm Stephen Pickford.
I'm Willem Bagus.
Until next Saturday, have a great week, everyone.
I could be right, I could be wrong. It hurts so
I'm Steve Michaels.